1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
We got to New York and I forgot our phone number. Stephen Bozell is with us and a group of other people who have some criticism here on the Phil Henry Show of President Bush's agenda as we approach 9/11. Would that be a fair assessment, Steve?
Yes, sir. I think it's fair to...
And just to be clear, you're a private citizen with no real political axe to grind, right?
No, sir, I'm just a private citizen who believes that President Bush has ignored his domestic agenda to get his terrorism agenda going, and I think he is really making a serious mistake with a lot of Americans. First of all, I want you to know...
What serious mistake is he making domestically?
Well, I think right now, with him concentrating on the terrorism, he has forgotten that with 9/11 approaching, I think there needs to be something said about the fact that there are a lot of people on that day. Yes, there are a lot of people who died on that day, but there's also people who, believe it or not, Phil, the 11th of September is a very big day for them, and that is a birthday. And I think it's kind of interesting, if you think about it like that, that we have ignored literally millions of Americans who have birthdays on 9/11, and now that day represents nothing but pain and suffering, and President Bush has not addressed that.
The President of the United States addressing the fact that we have a lot of... You know, my son Alexander's birthday is on 9/11. Is yours?
Mine is, sir, along with... I've got... it's interesting, my niece has her birthday on 9/11. My secretary also has the same birthday, Phil, and I wanted to mention to you that some of the people who are having birthdays on 9/11 are Christy McNichol, the actress, Moby, Harry Connick Jr., Brian De Palma, the director, and the poet O. Henry all have birthdays on 9/11. And with all due respect to all the people who died and all the people who suffered at 9/11, including the Fire Department of New York, the New York Police Department, and the Port Authority Police, I'd like to put that on the back burner now, you know, and say that 9/11 is also people's birthday, and it's a memorable day.
Well, you're putting this as a part of the domestic agenda of the president, meaning, and you say he's blowing it.
I think he's blowing it because that is a lot of people who, you have to understand.
Birthdays, by the way, are great. And I remember my son Alex's birthday last year saying that his birthday would never be the same.
And that is so true, and I'm so thankful that someone in the media has finally looked at this. Everybody's concentrating on 9/11 and how all the people, and I'm very nervous.
You're doing fine, sir.
September 11th, if you think about it, used to be a great day for me. And it was a great day for O. Henry and Brian De Palma also. But now, when you think about 9/11, everybody thinks about sadness. And what happens to those of us who are having a birthday? We have to sit there and listen to everybody complain about it.
Well, but there's real reason to complain. There are people who are suffering because of 9/11. There are orphans.
Yes, sir, but let's move that to the back burner for a second. Because we've heard about that. But I got to tell you something. My mother gave birth to me on the 11th of September. She died on March 9th, 1987. And I got to tell you, I'm so glad that she's not here to see how my birthday's being ignored. And the interesting thing, Phil, the thing that we want to point out, do you think they'd still celebrate Jesus' birthday if terrorists attacked on that day? I think they would. I'm not blaming those poor people that lost their lives.
No, I want to be clear. You're not blaming the people who are dead.
No, sir. But I do feel that Mr. Bush, Mr. President George Bush, should be held accountable for the pain me and millions of other people, birthday people, are going to have to endure for the rest of our lives.
So President Bush needs to make some statement here.
I think he's ignored the domestic agenda. Yes, sir.
All right. Stephen Bozell representing a group of citizens who are considering some action because your birthday is also on 9/11 and people are just not celebrating the way they used to. Is that, am I correctly encompassing that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, they don't look happy anymore. There's nobody that's happy no more. I know that when I come downstairs for my birthday on the 11th, my wife and children will be watching TV. Birthdays used to be a big deal for a segment of us, and now it's just all to hell. And I think the president should make some acknowledgement on our birthdays.
All right. I want to ask you about how President Bush can acknowledge people's birthdays on 9/11, because you feel as if it is a happy day for millions of Americans who do have birthdays, and that day will forever be colored with grief. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I believe that that's, and also the fact that I think, you know, the president could come out and say something, because we are owed this. We are owed this. We are the silent people who suffered, I think, because of 9/11.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number of the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. I don't know if anybody out there knows anybody having a birthday on September the 11th, and that's probably not even the point. The point here is should President Bush acknowledge that there's a segment of our population that suffers in silence, people who are having their birthdays on 9/11 and now are not going to be able I guess what you're saying is celebrate the same way.
That's right.
Well, I suppose the president could say something about this being a sad day, and we're sorry for all of you who are having a birthday.
No, that's what we don't want. What I would like is when the president talks about how sad 9/11 is, then I think they should go to a commercial break. Then when they come back, he's on a different stage. Okay?
And well, where would he be? I mean, I guess he's going to be having a press conference.
Well, wherever he'd be doing a press conference or wherever he'd be doing anything that he's doing, when he come back and say, all right, now we're back on the birthday stage, and this is a happy stage, it's not a sad stage, and I want to now say happy birthday to everybody having a birthday today. The Marine Corps band, I think, or any one of the military bands could play happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody, what's having a birthday, happy birthday to you, or something like that. And that's because if it happened on, I'd like to ask you.
All right, having said all of that, I want to tell you, 9/11 is a sad day, and it forever will be a sad day. And I think a lot of you guys have to muscle through this, even if your birthday is on 9/11.
Well, let me ask you something, Mr. Henry. What if the terrorists had attacked on your birthday? See, what do you think about that, see?
Look, can I say something to you, Mr. Bozell, right?
Yes, sir.
If the terrorists were hell-bent on carrying out their plans, I would have wished they would have had it on my birthday.
Why?
Because my birthday was September 1st, and it was a Saturday last year. And many of those people would not have been in that building, and maybe some lives would have been saved had they attacked on my birthday.
But that come, okay. Okay.
You see what I'm saying? My birthday, September 1st, they wouldn't have killed as many people.
Okay, but see, that comment there automatically makes me look like I'm just, and I'm going to use a word that maybe I shouldn't, makes me look like an ass. Because what you did...
Well, I don't know how it makes you look like an ass.
Well, it makes me look selfish, all right? And
all right. Selfish how?
There's no need for there to be more victims on 9/11, and my birthday is today, or is on the 11th.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something here. But if it had happened on my birthday, we would be, obviously, we would be having a much less grief because not as many people would have died. Let's go to Elaine. Elaine, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Stephen Bozell, hello?
Yes, hi, Steve.
Yes, ma'am.
This man who is concerned about his birthday has got to be kidding the world. That's probably the last thing anyone's worried about is somebody's birthday on that day.
Do you have children, ma'am?
I have children.
All
in
right.
fact, it has nothing to do with children. What about all the people who will never celebrate a birthday again? Do you ever think about that? Don't
that
be
is
so
a very
selfish.
Sad thing.
It's
That's
a day that happened.
It's a bad day. It's a bad, bad
it's a
day.
Very
but now
bad.
Let's put that on the back burner and let's talk about those of us who are alive. And what do I get to do? No, let's talk about those of us. And I'm not just talking for myself. I'm talking for Mr. Henry's little boy, Alex. I'm talking for my niece. I'm talking for children all over America.
Well, you know what? God bless them. They'll celebrate a birthday. You know what's going to happen. They're going to have birthday cake and presents.
What about this idea,
it's not the
Elaine?
President's problem.
All right. Okay, that's what I was going to ask, Elaine. What about this idea that President Bush should make an acknowledgement to people?
You know
understand.
What the president should do on that day is to thank God that we are all here on this earth. We should all be celebrating that day as the day that we are here, not the fact that it's someone's birthday.
No, I agree with you, ma'am, but I believe it would not, it would raise the president's approval rating. It would raise the president's approval rating if he simply said, and also, by the way, those of you who are having a birthday, happy birthday.
You know what?
Well,
I don't know about you, but in my household, my birthday is celebrated by my family, not by the whole country.
Yes,
and
ma'am,
I think that's how we do things.
That's right.
Okay?
But
on my
of 9/11,
what?
Because of 9/11, when I come downstairs for my birthday, my wife and kids is going to be looking at a TV set, and they'll be going off.
Aren't you the selfish one now?
Yeah,
you think about
you
all
know,
those families who can't celebrate someone's birthday
because
of that day.
Elaine, I'll tell you something, and Mr. Henry and all your listeners, did you know that the most best place to celebrate a birthday is going to be closed on September 11th, which is a restaurant in the Los Angeles area called Chuck E. Cheese? It's considered closing its doors on 9/11. Did you know how many people that will hurt and how many of the children that it will hurt?
Well, wait a minute. Are you...
That
go ahead,
is
Elaine.
The least of, you know what, I lost a dear friend in 9/11, and the last thing I would ever think about, ever, is celebrating a birthday. I'm alive, I'm here, you're here,
yes,
God bless you, have a wonderful birthday, don't
thank
ignore
you,
it, but don't
no,
think
ma'am.
That anybody owes you for you because it happened on that day, unfortunately.
I agree with everything you said, except for the part where you said, that you don't care about Chuck E. Cheese being open because that's one of the most important, bestest places.
Wait a minute. You're an adult man of how old?
I'm 38, sir.
Do you care if you have your birthday at Chuck E. Cheese?
No, sir, I do not. No, sir, I do not. I hear the lady laughing, and I know she thinks it's very funny, but what I do care about is my niece and all of the hundreds of billions of children.
You know what? You know what? You can go celebrate with your niece, and everybody could celebrate with their family that they should really hug each other.
Well,
if it's your birthday that day... We should all hug each other and thank the Lord you're here today.
I agree with you, Elaine.
Not worrying about celebrating.
I think Bush is blowing it.
Thank you very much, Elaine. We're going to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell, President Bush is blowing it.
I think Bush has made a lot of stupid moves as president. But I think this move, ignoring those of us who are having birthdays on the 11th, is going to bury whatever agenda he's got on the terrorism deal.
Stephen Bozell is with us, and you heard him say that there are millions of Americans and millions of people worldwide who on the 11th of September will be having birthdays, and that day is forever colored with a black paintbrush, if you will, because of the tragedies of and the attacks on 9/11, and he wants the president to at least acknowledge the many birthdays that will be happening on 9/11. He thinks if the president doesn't do that, he's blowing it. What do you think? And will this color your vote come this fall in the congressional race and, of course, in 2 years for the presidential race? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, and this is a man who is, frankly, upset that 9/11 has destroyed anybody who's had a birthday on 9/11. They'll never be able to celebrate it the same way ever again. And Stephen, are you there?
I'm right here, sir.
And Janice, I can hear your little talk back there in Los Angeles. We are live, by the way, in New York City. And I want you to know that. And we are here for the memorial on 9/11. We are enjoying this great city once again, 1 year after being here in October of last year. New York is a place you got to come to New York if for no other reason to disabuse yourself of any idea that 9/11 is some sort of a limited or otherwise a finite event. Here is Camille on the Phil Hendry Show. Camille, you're on with Phil Hendry and Steve Bozell.
Yes.
Go ahead, Camille.
Yes, how are you?
Fine.
How dare this person be such a capital I person for himself, not thinking of other disasters like I come from Hawaii, and we had Pearl Harbor, and I haven't once through my 58 years of living ever heard anybody in the Aloha State ever mention that he wanted those kind of privileges on his birthday if it happened to happen on Pearl Harbor. I have never heard such a selfish thing in all my life.
I don't think I'm asking for special privilege. I think I'm just asking for the president to do the decent thing and to saying we are sorry for everybody who have a birthday on 9/11, and let's sing happy birthday for everybody, okay? Why can't he do that?
Listen, we've had presidents before this president, and we've had disasters daily. We can celebrate every day we wake up We can celebrate.
The other thing I need to mention to you is my birthday wasn't on Pearl Harbor Day. My birthday come on 9/11 Day.
That's what I'm saying. You're only thinking about yourself. It's a capital I attitude, and if you're raising children, that's very disastrous nowadays.
Were you born on Pearl Harbor Day, ma'am?
I was born on D-Day plus two. And I'm sure I was born on a day when there were thousands of people killed in automobile accidents.
I don't know what day D-Day is.
That was when we invaded Normandy in World War II.
I'm not familiar with that.
That was D-Day, World War...
June 6th, 1944 is D-Day. My birthday is June 8th, 1944. And proud of it.
D-Day plus two is then what?
June 6th.
June 8th.
June 8th.
Plus 2 days. All right. What I would say, if your birthday was on Pearl Harbor Day, you could have Don Ho, who's the very wonderful Hawaiian songster, do a, I don't know, Mr. Inner, you know, do a Tiny Bubble rendition or something. You have to understand something, Camille, and all the people listening. My birthday, I used to be happy. Now I can't be.
Well, you know what? I think you ought to go see someone for
depression. Twice with my wife, April, and once with Cliff Pettigrew's bachelor party, and they've always been happy in Hawaii, and they didn't think about Pearl Day.
Sir, I am a flight attendant.
Pearl Day.
I just came back from the wonderful city, the Big Apple of New York.
This is what we
should be concentrating on, bringing people back and forth, making the negative turn into a positive.
That's why I'm saying, why can't we say happy birthday on Pearl Bomb Day or and also on D-Day plus two or whatever day that was, and also on 9/11 Day?
But you're saying the president should go to a separate stage following a commercial break and say, and now a little something for...
Yes, you don't have to drag it out. Just happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to everybody. That's having a birthday, happy birthday to you. And of course, the memorial wall that we're planning, which will be in Washington, D.C., and it will have the names of everyone in America who has a birthday on September the 11th, but has been screwed out of having a good birthday by the terrorists. Well, what's so funny about that?
You want a memorial wall? I didn't know about that.
Yes, sir.
There's a wonderful Chinese architect who did the memorial for the veterans, and
yes,
I used to work for the Veterans Hospital. Now,
yes,
I think that's a great thing.
Right, we can have it next to the Vietnam Wall.
All right,
well,
the
you know
memorial
what? Everybody
wall...
in America should have your address, and we'll all send you a history book.
Ma'am, I don't see anything wrong with having a birthday memorial wall that says, here's the names of the people that had birthdays. You can have birthday cake or something.
And I think, personally, the CEO
next
of Chuck E. Cheese ought to send you a birthday Chuck E. Cheese certificate.
Well, yeah, he should.
See?
Ma'am,
then you think the world owes you.
Well,
then right there, yeah. The listeners all and myself are all hearing that you're a capitalized person.
Ma'am,
and the only thing we should capitalize in America is the word
Chuck
God.
E. Cheese, man. The man who run Chuck E. Cheese ought to send me a... The fact you dated a Chinese man doesn't have anything to do with my birthday either, and I'm really very upset about that.
She didn't say she dated a Chinese man.
My
she
goodness.
Most certainly did. Well, what did you say? Did you say that you married a Chinaman?
I said the CEO of... Chuck E. Cheese ought to thank you for the free press.
All right,
and he's
listen,
the one who should send you a coupon book.
The CEO of Chuck E. Cheese is a Chinaman. For me and for
and I'm
the
sure
millions of people in
the... We had to break. Hold on for a minute.
I think that she should send him an apology.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Should President Bush acknowledge the fact that there are millions of Americans who are having their birthday on 9/11 and it's been ruined by the horror of 9/11? And should he acknowledge that? And should he, you know, do something? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening live from New York this week, The Phil Hendry Show.
This is The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We're broadcasting from Wall Street in New York City. We're about three blocks, Craig, would you say, from Ground Zero. We're right across the street from the New York Stock Exchange. Stephen Bozell is my guest this hour, talking about the silent suffering minority in this country after 9/11, people who had birthdays on 9/11, and now their birthdays are not going to be the same. We're going to go to a phone call, but you mentioned a memorial wall for people.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
A memorial wall for people who had their birthday on 9/11 but didn't get, now it's not going to be the same. It won't be as much fun. We are proposing the land just adjacent to the Vietnam War Memorial because I think in our own way, since we won't have birthdays that are fun, we're the same. We suffer the same as a lot of the Vietnam veterans who we do honor greatly. In addition to that, we would like to have birthday cake served on every 9/11 to everyone. That means, so everybody says I'm selfish. I'm not selfish because we'll have birthday cake. And also, for the children, we could have a clown dressed in a fireman suit or something like that.
At this memorial wall?
At the birthday memorial wall, yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Reenie, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Reenie.
Come in to Ms. Boswell.
Yes, ma'am.
Boswell.
Yes, ma'am.
Feel very...
What's that, ma'am?
Crack.
I'm a crackhead.
So what is she, on a cell phone or something, guys? Hello? Reenie, are you there?
I'm there.
Yeah, dear, your cell phone's breaking up. I don't know what the problem is.
I don't either.
Oh, there you go. Now you're good. Go ahead.
Okay.
Say it again.
I wanted to say that has nothing to do with birthdays or any celebrations of private citizens. It's a ridiculous thought. Then again, Mr. Boswell, I don't think you realize that not only can you celebrate your birthday on 9/11, but you can celebrate the fact that you were not one of the victims on that day. And I think your family
I would celebrate that too. But I also would like to have people be happy. Listen, last year... We were supposed to have a large barbecue for me, and then the World Trade Towers come crashing down, and then nobody showed up.
Mr. Boswell... Your thinking is rather childish, and
ma'am,
I think you need to rethink, and your family is the one. Sir?
Yes, by the way, ma'am, my name is Bozell, not Boswell.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bozell.
Yeah, what's
You'll
your
forgive
name?
Me, I hope.
What's your name?
Mr. Schmidt mentioned my name.
Mr. Schmidt?
Mr. Schmidt mentioned my name, yes.
Who's Mr. Schmidt?
Are you being funny now?
No, ma'am. Who is Mr. Schmidt?
He's the program you're on.
The Phil Schmidt Show?
That's right.
It's Phil Hendry, ma'am.
Look, Phil,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry,
you know,
Mr. Hendry.
I think you're retarded, lady.
I'm sorry. I think I gave the message. Thank you.
I didn't understand any of it. Between Mr. Schmidt and Mr. Boswell, I didn't understand a word you said.
Well, then you have a lot of rethinking to do, sir.
The Phil Schmidt Show. That's really good.
All right.
The lady made a mistake. It's the Phil Hendry Show. And your name is Renee?
Reenie.
Reenie?
That's right.
It's Reenie. I'm sorry. I misread it.
Okay, so you agree with me then, lady?
About what?
About having a birthday wall.
Of course not.
Oh, I'm
absolutely
she was
not.
Telling me that she doesn't agree.
Well, all right, Boswell stuff.
Oh, get out of here. Let me go over here to Grace. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Grace.
Hey.
Yes.
This guy has an absolutely ridiculous idea. Absolutely ridiculous. To think that the people that have birthdays on 9/11 are suffering anything like the veterans of the Vietnam War or the people that died in that war is absolutely, just like your previous caller said, absolutely ridiculous and childish.
No, ma'am.
Grow up, guys. Grow up. You didn't lose anybody in that.
No,
you didn't lose anybody on 9/11.
Okay, what about the little children that have birthdays on 9/11? They don't get to have no fun. What about that?
What about the children that have birthdays on the day that we remember Pearl Harbor?
I lost my birthday. It'll never be
fun
again.
Oh, boo-hoo, you lost your birthday. You lost your birthday, and America lost its pride.
What's wrong
now, which one is more important?
Ma'am, these Arabs stole my birthday.
Don't talk to me about what the Arabs have done.
They stole my birthday.
Oh, boo-hoo. Good God, man. Grow up.
Ma'am.
It has absolutely nothing to do with your birthday.
First of all, they didn't steal our pride. America still has a great deal of pride, so I think I have more faith in this country than you do. Secondly, I got 2.5 friends that are Vietnam vets, and they also think that the birthday wall is a good idea.
What do you mean, 2.5 friends?
One of them had his legs amputated.
Oh my God, and you tell me
Jesus!
That is amazing. You think that one person that doesn't have his legs is half a person? Who are you?
You know, that is an unbelievably insensitive...
I was just joking around.
Joking around, huh? You want to joke around like that in front of your friend?
Okay, so now what are you saying? I'm an ass?
Yeah! 2.5 friends, huh?
If President Bush doesn't make special mention of our birthday, I'm tempted to sue for funding for lost specialty of life. Now,
this guy for real? Is this
Look at
a real
Mr.
person,
Bozell,
or are you just joking?
Yeah, are you for real, sir? Are you for real?
I talked to your producer. And
I mean, I saw the article in the Washington Post. This guy's got a thing, but I don't know whether you're serious or not.
All I'm trying to say is...
And you call him half of a friend, the guy with no legs.
We call him Stubby, okay? And he doesn't seem to think it's so bad.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
Listen to you laughing about a man with no legs.
9/11 and you
no,
are trivializing the Vietnam War.
Let me just say something to you. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday.
What are you crying?
Celebrate your birthday, sir. But
happy birthday, dear Steve.
What about all the kids that were born on the day we remember Pearl Harbor? Are they celebrating?
Well, who cares about Pearl Harbor? Nobody even remembers that.
See.
So since it didn't happen to your generation,
it doesn't matter.
Think about it. Anybody born on Pearl Harbor Day is like over 60 years old. That's like, forget it.
Oh, okay. So we'll sing Happy Birthday to Me. And while we're on the subject, when was your guy with no legs born?
He was born on 9/11.
Oh, well, why don't we sing Happy Birthday to Stubby, too?
Happy birthday to Stubby. Happy birthday.
Yeah, that's real funny. All right, thanks a lot, Grace.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Bin Laden won't take it from me. Happy birthday to me. I just feel so lonely. Folks born on Pearl Harbor Day can't even remember to change their diapers. They can't remember their birthday.
Okay. Steve Bozell, if you want further information on... Never mind. You want further information from Mr. Bozell, you can call him or visit his website. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show. We're live in New York, and we are with Mr. Stephen Bozell, who is upset with President Bush. He thinks some kind of a statement should be made by President Bush and for all the people who had birthdays on 9/11. In those days, that birthday is obviously ruined.
And also, Mr. Henry, I hear people bringing up Pearl Bailey, and I don't know.
Pearl Harbor is really what they've been bringing up, okay?
Well, doesn't make any difference. I mean, I have a birthday, and now it's forever been ruined by Bin Laden.
All right, I know you're emotional, okay?
Yes, I am.
I know you're emotional, but you got to hear what the other people are saying here. Let's go to Donna. Donna, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you.
Yes,
Mr.
ma'am.
Mr. Bozell, I think you need to start thinking about somebody beside yourself. Pearl
ma'am,
Harbor,
I do think...
Listen, let me finish, because you've been talking and going on for all this
but
time now.
What about my niece? I talked about her.
I want to just tell you something. The people that fought in the war that was started inside Pearl Harbor, they're the reason that you are on the radio now making this ridiculous idea, putting it out to the American people, that there should be a memorial for you.
But
you would spend your birthday with people losing their life in Pearl Harbor, losing their life at 9/11. You were born 9/11/2001. I don't know when you were born. I don't care.
But your birthday
is not as important as people losing their life for this country.
But okay, Can I get a? Can I take? If the lady will take a breath, Mr. Henry.
Don't say it, the lady. She's saying what she wants to say. Go ahead.
Donna, number one, when 9/11 happened, my wife April had planned a barbecue.
We were going to
get Red's barbecue, and all of a sudden nobody showed up. My favorite barbecue is Red's barbecue.
I work for American Airlines. I lost a lot of friends in 9/11.
What do you do there?
I don't care about your birthday.
Are you a pilot?
No, I'm not a pilot.
You don't fly a plane?
I work for American Airlines. Isn't a pilot.
Would you ever fly a plane into a building? Or?
How dare you ask a question like that?
Well, I just wanted to know.
You are a first-class moron. Why weren't you?
How dare you ask a question like that?
I just want to know, if she was a pilot, would she go into a building or would she try to make a U-turn or whatever?
What do you mean make a U-turn?
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
Did you fight in Vietnam?
Did I fight in Vietnam?
Yeah, did you go to Vietnam? Did you enlist?
Did I enlist? Do I listen?
Yeah, did you
fight
in the service?
Yes, ma'am, I went on vacation.
Or did you go to Canada?
I went on vacation there.
Yeah, I bet you did. And I think you're still on vacation.
Ma'am.
And I think you need to go on a longer vacation because your birthday is not important to the rest of the world.
Don't you understand, Mr. Bozzella? But I think what a lot of people are saying is your birthday, unfortunately, the birthday 9/11 is going to be forever ruined because of that black day.
And I think that President Bush can change that by coming on TV and going, and by the way, happy birthday to everybody. What's
happy
having a
birthday
today?
Happy birthday.
And then have a cake.
Steve, let me take this opportunity to tell you happy birthday. And maybe on your birthday, you should take the opportunity to do something for someone that actually did something for this country. Go to one of the one of the veterans' hospitals and do something for a vet.
Try and treat
your friend that went to Vietnam and lost his leg with a little respect. Try doing that on 9/11.
My wife, April, gives me what we call a birthday pleasure every year, and we had a very special intimate time, and she would put on a leather outfit, which I'm not going to embarrass you by talking about, okay? Now she won't do it.
You've been celebrating your birthday for too many days, Steve. I think that's the problem. You're still
my
celebrating.
My wife, she puts on a nice little leather outfit, does some things to me that I can't mention on the radio, but they
are probably illegal,
I don't know.
A letter of commitment.
Look at
April, she made me a cake this year, and Wendell, our basset hound, jumped up on the table and knocked the cake down. Why don't you put your
World
Trade Center up for me?
Okay, thanks a lot, Donna. What kind of a freak are you?
What?
What do you mean, why don't you put your World Trade Center up for me?
That's the only thing that makes her happy.
All right, Steve, congratulations on, I don't know what it is, but as I said, you have a website?
We have a website, which I don't remember the address right now. Could I call you back?
Yeah, call me back with the address. Fine. Stephen Bozzell, and they want a birthday memorial wall with cake and a clown for everybody. And my kid, Alexander's having his birthday on the 11th, so give me a break, pal. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're going into our flashback from Friday. I forget who this is, but it's, who? Who's
the American Idol
the American Idol thing? Yeah. It's our flashback from Friday, which is speech impediment idol. Here it is.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
And now it's time for Speech Impediment Idol. Here's your host, Ryan Seacrest.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest. Welcome to Speech Impediment Idol. This is a program that offers a shot at stardom for... Hey, that's great. Okay. This is a program that offers a shot at stardom for people with a speech impediment. Okay. Now let's bring out our first singer. And this is Morty Brown. Morty, go right ahead. Now, your problem is you have a lisp, so go ahead, Morty.
Say you, say me, say it for always. That's the way it will be.
Okay.
Say you say.
I got it.
Let's talk to Randy. Randy, what do you think?
Man, that's good. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't dig it. He's got a lisp. What do you want from me? It's just, it's not happening.
All right, thanks. Now, let's bring up Tiffany Groin. She has a lateral lisp, and she'll sing the song Respect. Go ahead, Tiffany.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
That's great. Jesus.
Okay, what do you think, Paula Abdul?
I love everything about it. I'll go ahead and spread now and save time.
All right. And finally, let's talk to, we have now Billy Numbi. Billy is going to sing the song By the Time I Get to Phoenix, right, Billy? And Billy has a stutter. Go ahead, Billy. Maybe by the time you get to Phoenix, you'll finish the song, huh, Billy?
Bye.
All right! Simon?
Words don't describe the things that I'd like to do to you sexually, and yet I want to inflict pain as well. I'm torn, and I think you agree with me, don't you, Randy?
I do, man.
All right. So I want to torture you, but I want it to hurt good. All right.
Let's try it again with Benny and the Jets. What song is Billy singing here? Benny and the Jets or By the Time I Get to Phoenix? Go ahead.
Boo, boo, boo.
All right, Simon, what do you think?
By the Time I Get to Phoenix.
Bull crap! It's Benny and the Jets. Damn. Why don't you try Ain't Seen Nothing Yet? Baby, you just ain't seen nothing yet. All right. Yes, Speech Impediment Idol will be back next week with more speech impediments. Okay, so that was pretty cheap. Where's our
Phil Henry Show?
Yeah, Comedy Gold.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. We're going to be in Las Vegas the 27th through the 29th of this month. Today and all of this week, we're in New York City, and I do want to give you, you know, impressions and feelings about being here in New York. And by the way, the last bit we did, the voice of, who did we do, Steve Bozell? That was me doing the voice. And it was also me doing the voice in that last bit. Do you think people know that it's me doing the voice? After 10 years? All right, so anyway, on the 27th through the 29th, we are going to be in Las Vegas for our first ever Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor in Las Vegas. And we got a limited number of these packages, but we'd really like for you guys to get out there, especially people in L.A., Miami, and some of the places that are sort of Vegas-friendly. The weekend's going to kick off with a happy hour. We're going to do a live broadcast. We're going to do a blues and brews party the following night. The whole package is $348, and I'll give you the number. It's 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000. It'll be at the Luxor Las Vegas. That's the reservation line. And you got to ask for the Phil Henry package. And again, limited number of packages available, so please make your reservations now. Okay, we're live in New York. We'll be back with more of our New York stuff. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police from a substation in Hawthorne, California. By the way, we are live in New York, and we will be live in New York all this week. And we're here for the memorial to 3,000 Americans who lost their lives, Jay, on 9/11.
That is absolutely correct, Phil, and I wish I could be there with you. I don't think people are ready for all of this 9/11 anniversary. I've seen people going out to dinner. I've seen people in line for this. I guess, in a way, if you'll forgive me, it makes me angry when I see people lined up for these movies like In My Fat Greek, Big Wedding, and kids heading back to school. It all seems wrong. It all just seems wrong.
Why do you say that?
I think I was affected very deeply by 9/11. I think everyone was. And when you see people laughing and having a good time, that's why what we decided to do is implement our Operation BAM, which is Behavioral Assessment Modification. We don't feel that at least on 9/11 it'll be right for people to be exhibiting signs of joy, if you will, when so many people died.
That's an interesting perspective. So 9/11, we just got done talking about people having birthdays on 9/11.
Right, I think all of that's inappropriate. I think if I could have been on with the gentleman you had on, he was making my blood boil, talking about his birthday, like he's some kind of a big shot. And it's people like that that I want to I just tell you, it makes me angry.
Tell me about Operation Behavioral Modification Assessment.
All right, Phil, the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer police agency. We are going to be around a variety of areas where children especially gather on 9/11 to make sure that people are appropriately expressing emotion on 9/11. You know, 364 days out of the year, Phil, you can giggle and get your jollies and get your cookies. But on 9/11, we want to see respect, and we see a lot of kids having fun, for instance, on playgrounds. We see kids out in parks, parents rolling around with their kids. That's all good. That's where I'll be. But on 9/11, we want to see some respect, and so we will be fanning out a variety of our subcommanders to the playgrounds and talking to kids. And
what will you be saying to the kids, educating them about 9/11?
Well, educating them also that their behavior, their emotional behavior, Phil. I'm going to go up to any kid I see who is laughing or what we call inappropriately behaving, and we are going to use behavior modification. And this is used by a lot of psychologists where they use dolls. We have three basic dolls, three basic toys, if you will. We have an airplane, we have a replica of the World Trade Center, and we have a doll. And if we see a child laughing or acting like everything's just great, we're going to go over to them and say, do you know what happened on this day? And we'll explain to them. We'll show the plane going in the building. And then we take out a Bic lighter and we set the hair of the doll on fire.
And well, what is that? So that's to let the child know that something bad happened on 9/11, but that's not certainly... You're not punishing that child, are you?
Well, we're not punishing the child, but we want people to know that if your kid is going to be out there on 9/11 in a park, at a playground, skipping around... One of the things you have to remember about kids, Mr. Henry, is they are kids. They're stupid, and they don't understand 9/11. Adults are not stupid, but kids are stupid, and they don't get it. So you got to go up to them and say, you see this? This is a plane. This is a building. Look what a plane do to the building. And then take out a Bic lighter, a Zippo if you wish, and blast the hair.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Did we lose Mr. Santos? Jay, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, which is a police agency, a volunteer police agency?
That's correct, sir. We are a volunteer agency made up of subcommanders and other commanders. And what we do is we just take a peek over the shoulder of police. I also have a small acetylene torch, by the way, for the doll head. I just know if you wanted to know.
Well, what do you do with that?
If a child acts inappropriately, if a child is skipping around and acting like they think 9/11 is just one big happy block party, like they're having a happy physics party or something, I will take the acetylene torch and I'll blast ahead.
Okay, of the doll.
That is correct.
Isn't that punitive? Doesn't that...
Well, Phil, one of the things that's kind of fun about it, you ought to see that baby's face melt when you do that. But, Mr. Henry, here's the thing. There's one thing a child will never forget, and that's the sense of smell. The smell of burned hair will stay with them. The smell of burning hair stays with a child. And if these kids think they're going to dance and skip on 9/11, well, that's a day when we're remembering 3,000 Americans what bought the farm. Well, okay, we can play it easy, we can play it hard, whichever way they want to play it.
All right, I want to give a number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. On 9/11, they are going to parks, playgrounds, wherever children gather or wherever parents gather with their children, and remind children that this is not a day to be laughing and singing. This is a day for mourning, correct?
Absolutely, Phil.
Okay. And while I agree with you, I'm having a hard time interrupting the play of a child.
Let me say something, sir. We were out, we did a dry run on Sunday yesterday. We went out to a couple of the main parks and facilities in the greater Los Angeles area. We fanned out, a Citizens Auxiliary Police van. We have two mobile units. We stopped, we fanned out. We got out of the van and we walked over to a group of children that were kicking around a soccer ball. Now, you may say, that's an innocent thing. On any other day, that's an innocent thing. On 9/11, though, that would be an affront to the memory of those people. So I walked over to the children. Excuse me, I walked over to the children. I grabbed the ball that they were kicking. I said, I don't ever, ever want to see you doing this on 9/11. Or this is what I'm going to do. And I took out a Swiss Army knife, and I just stuck it right into the ball.
You ruined the ball.
We did, but we're making a point about it. We're making a point about it. Don't have no fun on 9/11.
You destroyed a kid's soccer ball?
Yeah, destroyed a soccer ball, but reminded a child of their duty as a citizen, Phil.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here. Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Here's Jackie. Jackie, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know who gives you the right to go and talk to these people, kids, you know, and tell them what they should be feeling. That is the parents' responsibility, not yours.
Well, ma'am, don't you think the people should...
It's laughing. It's a condemn a child for laughing and having... Do we need to keep reminding them of this horrible thing that happened? These are
yes,
children
ma'am.
We are talking about.
Yes, ma'am. You're right. But we do have to remind the children of a terrible thing that happened.
Yes, we don't have
and
by,
for them to
by setting a doll's hair on fire? By setting a doll's hair on fire? No, I am very sorry. You're creating more of a damage to these children by doing
right.
that.
How dare you? I want to agree
no
with
right. That is the parents' responsibility, not yours.
I want to agree with Jackie for a second because you said that you carry an acetylene torch. And you burn the doll's head off.
Phil, let me tell you something. 9/11 was a horrible...
You don't have to remind us how horrible 9/11 was.
We all know
how horrible 9/11 was.
All right. All we're trying to do is remind the child on 9/11, this would have happened to their head. That's all I'm trying to say.
You know,
and I would ask this lady, what
are
you...
Are you a psychologist?
No, ma'am, I'm not.
You're not, right? Who gives you... How dare
I'm
you
on,
make that decision? You
I'm
give it to your children so that they can go out having to go get psychological help for the rest of their lives.
No, ma'am,
how
they will
dare
not
you?
Be...
You have no right. These children are not yours. You have no
ma'am,
right to do this.
We are the Citizens Auxiliary Police, ma'am. At the psychological help, we're helping them get over
so
it. We're saying,
you're not helping by carrying a blowtorch and blowing a dog's head off? You are not a psychologist.
How do you
and
figure that helps the child?
You are a cop. You are not a psychologist. You don't have the right to do this.
I'm Citizens Auxiliary Police, ma'am.
Yeah, but the lady's asking, are you a child psychologist? Do you know what this is doing to the child?
Well, how is it going to hurt it? Mr. Hendry, when I was a kid, I used to take doll's heads and burn them up all the time. I don't understand what the lady's saying. This way,
no
it's making a point.
No wonder you went into the police department.
I beg pardon, ma'am?
No wonder you went into the police department.
Ma'am?
Whatever it is you are.
Oh, so now you're saying our police, our brave police,
yeah,
are somehow...
I'm sorry. How dare you make a statement like that? That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever said. I've never heard anybody say.
What
and you're making
what?
Everybody else who is a normal law enforcement, you're giving them a bad name.
Ma'am, when I was a little boy, I used to take my sister's dolls and, like, melt the face off of the match. Now
uh-huh.
I'm doing it for a good reason. And that's to remind a kid.
Not a good reason. You tell me that you spoke to a psychologist prior to making this kind of a decision, and
right,
I'm
right.
telling you that this is a good thing to do. Who have
See, this
you
is...
talked to? Have you talked to any psychologist to make sure that what you're doing is not detrimental to these children?
Yes, ma'am, I have talked to a psychologist.
Really? Who? Who have
he's
you
from
talked
the,
to?
He's from the School of Hard Knocks. His name's Major Elvis Newton. He's the head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He came up very hard, the hard way. Made his way through life. I'll tell you something. He said to me, better to remind a child who's looking at the clouds that an airplane could come out of it and kill them than to have them not looking up at those clouds.
Right.
Now you're ruining a child gazing at clouds.
Right, exactly.
So all of a sudden I'm trying to remind a child what happened on 9/11 and I'm a bad guy. I don't understand how you people don't realize that something happened that they need to be reminded of. Once that child sees how fast a nose can disappear on Barbie with that acetylene torch, they'll learn fast.
All right.
You're so comical that I have to believe that this is
right.
all, you know, this
it's got to be a joke. It's got to be a joke.
All right.
Yeah.
You think 9/11 is a joke? Fine. You go ahead and laugh at 9/11.
Nobody's laughing at that. But you taking an acetylene torch to a doll's head. Jackie, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He will be going around on 9/11 to parks and playgrounds and wherever children and their parents gather to remind the kids that on 9/11 you don't laugh, you don't jump up and down, you don't play, you don't do anything. You show some respect. And one of the ways that he's reminded the kids that you show respect is he's got a doll and he has an acetylene torch and he burns the doll's head off with it. Now, that's the part that, as a father, makes me angry. The other part, reminding kids how serious the day is, I don't mind that. But that's the part, as a father, that really makes me angry, Jay. And I got to tell you...
No, Mr. You go ahead and laugh, but when you see your little girl crying because the Barbie's head got melted, we'll see how you feel then.
Well, I'll feel bad about it then, because you melted off her Barbie head. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police with us. Jay, the only thing that we're saying here, and the only thing that I need for you to understand is that you're messing with people's kids, okay?
I understand that, Phil.
And so when you walk up to a group of children on a playground and say, hey, today is 9/11, you shouldn't be dancing and playing, and then you stick a knife into their soccer ball.
It is a shock therapy, Phil. It is important to do. And when people say to me, do I know any child psychology? let me tell you what. I got a little boy of my own, and there's nothing I would do to these kids I wouldn't do to no kid.
That your kid?
My kid.
When you said no kid.
Yeah, I meant to say my child.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to go over here to, is it Luba?
Yes.
Yes, Luba, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. Hi. I wanted to make
yes,
a
ma'am.
Point to this guy. I think it's incredibly stupid what you're doing. You're not better than Osama bin Laden, who is trying to brainwash the children of Muslim countries into doing these things to America. And you're going to the parks and you're ruining children's...
Luba, can I take a shot here? Can I take a shot? I'm going to guess you're Arab American.
I'm not.
You're not Arab? What country
Russian.
Are you from?
I'm
you're
Russian.
Russian? Yeah. All right, well, that's kind of similar.
It's not similar.
It's not similar.
Well...
No, it's totally different.
Well, ma'am, don't ever compare me to Osama never been Laden, okay? That's a joke, by the way. Osama
well,
bin Laden,
you know what? You're trying to brainwash children. If you want to make a difference, you should go to classrooms and talk to them in the peace and not in the park with the knife and breaking their toys.
I'm not breaking a toy. That's not their toy. What I am,
well, you're taking a blowtorch to a doll's head.
But that's a doll that we pick up. That's in our dolls. That's in the doll area that we keep at Citizens Auxiliary Police for the children. Are you aware that they use dolls to teach kids stuff?
Yes, I know. What do you keep, a stash of dolls?
We have dolls. We have all kinds of things we use in the community with children. We go out. We have a blowtorch. Blow the head off. The next thing you know, the kid is...
Why won't you go to school? Why won't you show them the pictures? Why won't you tell them that 3,000 people died? Why won't you do it reasonably? And
can I tell you something, Luba? Russia was our ally in World War II, and thank God for that. Because when I was a child, I never really understood World War II until my older brother, Carl, who runs the Oregon Beaver Patrol, by the way, set fire to his soldier collection. And Luba, if your brother burned a bunch of Bolshevik dolls, I think you'd understand.
It's
well, I mean, that's a good point.
And that is a good point.
If your childhood was screwed up, it doesn't mean that you have to screw up childhood of innocent children who are playing and ruin their
I'll tell you what, I got a torch that can melt a Malibu Barbie head in 3.5 seconds. Now, that's all verified. You can check that.
And you think, okay, what ages of children that you're going to target?
Right.
How old are those children
They're young. They're between the ages of 5 and, say, 10. One thing, Luba, you got to understand, kids are stupid. Okay, that's because they're kids.
They're developing. Their brains are developing at those ages. And you're going to see such a memory in their heads. It's just unbelievable. They're going to spend thousands of dollars as adults to go through psychotherapy to erase.
Right. I don't like the idea you call. I don't like the idea of you calling kids stupid. That bothers me. Luba, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. 1-800-449-8686.
Do kids know calculus? No, they don't. Do kids know how to drive? No, they don't. They're stupid. And what we do with these kids is we teach them how to understand the world. And on 9/11, bad things happen. And
what do you mean it's all verified your torch can blow off a Barbie head in 3.5 seconds?
That was our forensic lab. We did that in the forensic area.
You take Barbie heads and you cook them with blowtorches?
In the forensic lab, yes, sir, we do. We also do take magnifying glasses. We'll put a bug under a magnifying glass in the sun just to see how it burns it up. All that in the forensic lab.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Carol, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Carol?
Hi. Listen,
yes, go ahead,
I want to tell this gentleman that he better reconsider what he's planning to do. Because should it be my children that he would be doing this to, the police would be arresting him and anybody else in his organization.
Ma'am,
It seems to me that the stupid person is him, and that kids have more sense than that, because kids would think twice about going up Dahl's head. And that he must be very consumed with fire. And I'm telling you, if everybody else in this hearing voice is out.
Behind bars, and if the police
don't do something about you, shame on them. Thank you.
Ma'am, first of all, I'd like to. Are you there? Hello,
Carol. You gone? Okay, Carol's gone. What was the point you wanted to make?
Well, the point I wanted to make is my torch can burn off Barbie's breasts in 1.6.
Okay, we got all of the stats from your forensic lab. I want to know why you feel the need to keep children from laughing and playing and singing on 9/11 when they don't understand what happened on 9/11, and there should be some joy on that day.
No, there should be never no joy. I want to say this on behalf of the citizens of Missouri Police and all police officers everywhere.
You're not a police officer.
I'm an assistant police officer.
You're not a real police officer. You've got a volunteer police organization.
All right, but I'm going to say this anyway on behalf of the police, because I think they understand that I got their back. As long, and I speak for every police officer, Mr. Henry, even if you think I don't, there should never again be no joy, not never again no joy on 9/11. There should not never again be no joy on 9/11.
Never again, no joy on...
That's right, as long as all this stuff happens. Now, we have got at the lab at Citizens Auxiliary Police, we've got something like 15 to 20 different Barbie dolls. We've got Chetty Cathy, and we've got the baby Whitney baby doll, that we have a different scale. We've been able to burn the head off that Chetty Cathy, probably about 5 seconds. A Furby doll...
What do you guys do? Do you sit around on a Friday... Do you cats sit around on a Friday night?
You know, 9/11 was a serious thing, too.
No, are you cats sitting around on a Friday night and burning the heads off of dolls with acetylene torches?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, isn't that kicks? With a six-pack of beer?
We're going for a sixer of Schaefer. I don't know. We got a baby that-a-way doll that will actually run around the room screaming on fire. So...
1-800-449-8686. Do you think kids should not be allowed to laugh or sing or play on 9/11? 1-800-449-8686. That apparently is what Mr. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police believe. 1-800-449-8686.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're back with Steve Bozell. He's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police about 9/11.
Bill, can I just jump in and say something?
Well, go ahead, Steve. But, I mean, what you're talking about here is a little offensive to parents.
Well, if parents think it's offensive for us, what we're determining here, Phil, is children are not that bright.
Well, you called them stupid.
Well, kids don't know what happened on 9/11. I personally don't want to see them. Let me explain something to you. So you're telling me that I got to drive down the street on the worst day in the history of America and see some kids throwing a ball around? Is that what you're telling me? Because I just want to be clear.
Yeah, I'm saying that if it's a kid, it's a kid. He doesn't know any better.
Well, if he doesn't know any better, maybe somebody ought to teach him. But you and a lot of people that I hear on the talk radio program want me to drive down a street and see little girls playing jacks and hopscotch. As if everything's just great. Not with me, not with Jay Sanis. So what we're doing, because the kids aren't that bright, is we will show them...
Well, you didn't answer the question. If you walk up to a kid and burn the head off of a doll, how do you know you're not psychically damaging that child? And by the way, our number, 1-800-449-8686. I know we've had a lot of parents weighing in on that.
Can I ask you a question?
Hold on. I know we've had a lot of parents weighing in on this. I don't know how you feel about a strange man walking up to your kid and sticking a knife in his soccer ball and saying, I'm sorry, but this is not a day that you're supposed to play on.
Can I ask you a question, Phil, before you start putting words into my mouth?
All right, well, how do you know that you're not damaging these children?
One way. My own son, okay? My son, Andrew, all I'll go up to him, and I'll, the first thing I did when I saw my son, Andrew, start to laugh, I immediately took his Harry Potter doll, I poured lighter fluid on it, I set fire to it, and I said, see that? There you go, World Trade Center. And boy, let me tell you what, he got the message immediately. Because my son is not so stupid that he can't figure it out. So you take a doll, pour lighter fluid on it, set it on fire, and then run it over with your car, okay? And I'll tell you something right now, kid will get the message. If he doesn't get the message, then, sorry, your kid's an idiot.
My kid's an idiot. You know, my daughter, Catherine, I'll never forget when 9/11 happened. She was smiling and dancing through the kitchen, making herself some breakfast.
Okay, is that not stupid or what?
She's a little 9-year-old girl. We were all bummed out, but she's a little 9-year-old girl.
Okay. Is she dumb?
No, she's not dumb.
Well, she could be stupid or she's got that Al-Qaeda deal, but she ought to be ashamed of herself. And I would have put a boot to her rear end.
You're not going to put a boot to my kid's rear end. You know what's going to happen to you, Jay, if you do that. Listen, let's not be contentious, okay? Answer me this question. How do you know? So you take your son's doll, poured lighter fluid on it, set it on fire, and then ran it over with the car.
That is correct. And that's the way you teach a kid about this whole situation on 9/11. You don't want to have no kid smiling, giggling, laughing. And one other thing, Phil, if I drive down the street, and I mentioned this at the beginning of your program, and by the way, when you set a doll on fire and then you run it over, some of that rubber will run off on the tires and it'll be okay.
Oh, extra rubber?
That's right.
Let me go over here to Kathy. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, I don't think that he's making any sense to these kids. He's not going to be able to get anything through to them. He's just doing crap just to do it.
No, ma'am.
Little kids don't understand what he's saying.
He's not going to
accomplish anything.
Excuse me, if I can say, I say to them, 9/11, this is what happened. The plane goes into the building, then I take the acetylene torch to the head of the doll.
We all know what happened on 9/11. We all saw it. Little kids don't understand
kid.
It. They
the
didn't.
Little tiny kid don't know it.
Well, then why do they have to be exposed to it?
Because I got to drive down the street, and I got to look at a line of women standing and waiting to get into that my big Greek fat wedding. Have you seen that movie, Kathy, by the way?
No, I haven't.
Kathy?
Hello?
Yeah, have you seen that movie, My Fat Greek Big Wedding?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I don't think that has any relevance to this.
Yes, it does, ma'am, because the thing that drives me almost to the point of I want to lash out and commit a random act of violence is I drive down the street and I see all those women lined up to go in there. If I see that on 9/11, oh.
If you see that on 9/11, what?
You need to just get over it. If little kids are going to play, they're going to play. I know if I was little, my mother would have me out in the yard playing and leaving her alone. You know, if she wanted to mourn all the things that happened on 9/11, let her do that. Little kids aren't like that. Little kids don't understand.
You know what I'm going to do if I see anybody standing outside ready to have a big laugh at my fat, big Greek wedding? I'm going to go to a Greek restaurant, order a full meal, and then throw it into a garbage can and not even eat it. That'll send a message.
To who? To the garbage man? Who are you going to send a message to?
Kathy, you agree with me, don't you?
No, I don't. I think you're a moron.
Kathy, if you ain't got any babies, you ain't got no position to argue. And if I see you playing with a doll, look out.
All right, Kathy.
You know what? I might just play with the doll just to piss you off.
Then I'm going to come over there, take the head, and burn it up with an acetylene torch.
Okay.
Well, you might do that, okay? Maybe. If that makes you feel good, if that helps you get your anger out, whatever.
If I go into Code Tangerine, which is a Citizens Auxiliary Police...
Mental health.
No, ma'am. Mental health because I care about my country. Mental health because I'm...
There's a difference between caring about your country, wanting to go out and make a difference, wanting to go and start up a charity or make money, help college funds for all the kids that lost their parents and that. There's a difference between doing that and destroying some little kid's heart.
Ma'am, I'm not breaking their heart. I'm teaching. Look at Code Tangerine. If we see a lot of women in line for Fat Greek Big Wedding, I'll go to a Greek restaurant, order an entire wedding feast, and just throw it all into a garbage can.
Nobody will care, man.
Why?
Because nobody will see you do it. They'll just find a bunch of Greek food in a garbage can.
Then I'll go out and get a Malibu Barbie and burn the boobs off.
You know what, Kathy, you're right. He's a mental case.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's all I can figure.
Thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Not an official police agency, a volunteer police agency, which is, frankly, on 9/11, you're going to go around and tell children that they can't be laughing.
Now, Phil, I want to jump in.
No, hold on for a minute.
No, I got to jump in. We had a 411. While you were talking, we had a 411. There's a child who was skipping rope and everything else. We're not going to say nothing to that kid. But if it was 9/11, we'd be upset that a child's out skipping rope.
How do you know, Jay, that these children, you say that they're not being traumatized?
Well, these people say their kids aren't stupid. Well, if your kids aren't stupid, ask them a few questions. Has your child studied Islam? Has your child ever had an accident in his pants on account of being scared? Have he ever talked back to you? Does he like the Aladdin soundtrack? These things will pinpoint whether that child is bright enough to get it when I take his doll and cook the head off of it with a Bunsen burner.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Amy. Hi, Amy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just sitting here in amazement at the guy
that's
being a total idiot right now.
I think we're all amazed.
I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and at the time that 9/11 happened, we were on our way to school, and I cried all the way. And my son went to school.
Well, that was you. What about the kid?
Well, he went to school, and they talked a little bit about it, but when he got home, we turned on the TV. He saw what happened. He cried. He wanted to help the children that lost their parents.
You got a great, great child, Amy.
Mr. Henry, can I ask Amy some questions?
Go ahead.
You bet.
Have you ever taken one of your child's dolls and put it in the oven or done anything that might moderate the child's behavior?
No.
So you've never put a doll in a frying pan?
I don't need to. I have normal children.
Have you ever put a cat in a microwave?
No.
Or anything that...
Why would she do something like that?
You know what? That has nothing to do with September 11th. And it's people like you that get on the radio that make Americans look stupid.
I'm just checking to see
you
if you knew.
You are not portraying the true American heart.
I'm trying to check to see if you knew.
Knew what?
That a cat in a microwave has nothing to do with it.
Well, what the hell? Why ask her a question like that?
I'd ask you to watch your leg. Have you shown those kids how long it takes for Furby to take on water? Now, that's also something that can modify to a degree a child's understanding.
You know what?
What does that mean?
You take a Furby doll and you hold it under the water in a tub until it gets soaked.
Okay, and that has what to do with 9/11?
Again, if you can hear it, what does it sound like when it drowns? All of these things. Does it shut up when it drowns?
Okay, do you shut up
all right,
when you drown?
I guess I would. I mean,
because the true 9/11.
Well, here's what you don't know: a Furby screams when it drowns, when it chokes on water. So
are you on
know.
Some type of drug? Because
what the hell is your story?
It screams.
Furby screams.
Okay, and so do people when they're on fire, and so do those people in the Twin Towers. That is not the way to teach children. My children have been fired. They know that it burns. They know
that
people burn in the building.
And Amy,
they know that
it
hurts. They know what it feels like to lose somebody.
Well, then you got really smart kids. Most people aren't
lucky. Most people do have smart
kids. My kid was a complete idiot until
Well, with a father like you, I can understand why.
No, I drowned his Furby and then he wised up.
Okay.
If a Furby dies in the forest, does anybody...
Will you shut up?
You're an idiot.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Yes.
You call me an idiot, right? Did you have sex with Stephen Hawking to have those smart kids? Because I'd like to.
Funny.
Hello.
Hello. Whatever the laws
are broken. Yes. All right, I'm Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I can barely hear you.
I was just testing you.
Troopers, militia, the Rangers. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage...
Amy, are you there?
Yes.
I swear to God, Amy, try like drowning a Furby. It's amazing. We scream.
I have no interest in breaking a child's toy.
Well, if it isn't his toy, just buy it for yourself and drown it.
Okay, I'm all done with this jackball.
Thank you
very much, Amy. Thank you.
You bet.
Buy one for yourself and drown it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Well, no, we can't take a break.
Oh, we're not breaking yet?
No, we can't. We already took a break.
We already took a break. Well, why would I take a break when we already took a break? Henry, you idiot. Look at that. It was great. How many stations went to break? Ha ha. Just testing, right, Jay?
Just see you later. Went to a break.
Yeah, okay. Guess this is what traveling across the country, man. All right, listen, we're going to go to Vegas, you know that, but I'd like to also mention that we're here in the great city of New York. We're going to be here through this week. We're doing our radio show here because, well, we like coming to New York for a lot of different reasons. And by the way, I did the voice of Jay Santos in that last bit. Not that any of you noticed. Not that anybody cares. I did the voice of Jay Santos in that last bit. And so that's how we do our radio show. But there's a lot of things that I really want to tell you about. And one of them is the fact that we are going to Las Vegas. And that'll be on the 27th through the 29th. I want you to call this number 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000. If you'd like to see us do our show live, which I'm told is kind of an interesting thing, 1-800-288-1000 for the trip to Vegas, for the Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas, the 27th through the 29th. Now, getting back to the fact that we're here in New York, man, we have had a beautiful weekend. Got in here on Saturday. The 9/11 memorial will take place, and it's going to be a series of things. And I've been looking at some of the stuff they got planned for Ground Zero, but it's going to be a series of things involving the families of the victims. It will also, of course, involve the New York City Police Department, the Fire Department of New York, the Port Authority Police. There will be bagpipes. There will be music in like five different parks in New York. As a matter of fact, when I went by Battery Park, which Battery Park is down on the confluence, I think is the word. It's a really cool word, of the East River and the Hudson. And I saw them. Did you see them practicing? There were dancers up on a stage, and they were doing a variety of different things to practice and to get ready for 9/11. But driving around the city Saturday and yesterday, this town's back. It seems like the town is back. When we were here a year ago, the only cars you saw on the street were cabs. I didn't see a lot of vehicular traffic. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was still difficult to get onto Manhattan Island. There was still a serious amount of security. And maybe they've loosened that up because I've seen a lot of regular passenger car traffic. Where you still see all the security is where we are on Wall Street. We broadcast at a place called Street.com, Jim Cramer's studio, which we want to thank Jim very much for the use of his studio. We're directly across the street. When I say directly across the street, we couldn't be more than, what are we, Craig, about 20 feet away, 30 feet away from the front door to the New York Stock Exchange. They got big-time security there. They have cops. They have security guards. They have the place sort of cordoned off with those sawhorses, etc. You can't get in there. You can't get down Wall Street at all. You can't drive a car down Wall Street. And nobody is allowed into the New York Stock Exchange other than the traders. No one's allowed into the Statue of Liberty. Nobody's allowed up in the Empire State Building. So all that security stuff is still in place. And the only reason I mention that is we got our two kids with us, Chris and Catherine, and they wanted to go to the Statue of Liberty. So we said, okay, we'll go down to the park, go down to the what they call Castle Clinton, which is the big place where they sell the tickets. And it says Statue of Liberty closed. You can go over to the island, but the Statue of Liberty is closed. And so I said to Chris, well, we can go over to where the statue. No, I don't. Well, what's wrong? Because I wanted to go. Well, what are you all bummed out, man? I mean, yeah, I wanted to go to the Statue of Liberty. I wanted to go up and stare out of the eye. What do you mean you wanted to go up and stare out of the eye? Oh, you could go up into the head. And now I can't. I don't even want to go. Dude, staring at it's cool. No, I wanted to go up into the eye. I wanted to stare out of the head, and I wanted to look down its nose, and, you know. And then the kids go, well, you can't go up because of security measures. Well, how do you know? Because my little girl and my son are now arguing. How do you know?
Because, and besides, you can't go into the torch anyway.
Yeah, that's only because a guy jumped out of there one time.
Well, still.
just like kids, they're completely off the point. So that was a major bummer for him. And so we had to, like, do something. Then Maria says, let's go to Ellis Island. Your grandmother and grandfather, which is true, their grandmother and grandfather came in at Ellis Island. And what? Who wants to go over there? Well, maybe we'll see their name on the thing. You know, they don't get it. So then we decided to take the little guided tour around New York, because you got the kids, it's a fantastic way. You get on this double-decker bus. Did you ever see Spider-Man? You know that tram that goes over the East River that got all messed up at the end of Spider-Man? That thing is like $3 to go over the East River, dude. $3. You take this little hanging tram, okay? And I would go on that were it not for one thing. I have little accidents in my pants when I get up too high. But the guy, the little tram guy, is going, ladies and gentlemen, over there is the tramway over the East River. It's the best $3 you'll ever spend. I said, Chris, let's go on that. It was in the movie Spider-Man.
Yeah, forget it.
That thing is scary, dude. Have you seen it? It's a huge track that arcs over the East River, and that little tram goes along. And only $3. By the way, the Staten Island Ferry is free. So, see, Craig is here. He's giving me the thumbs up and all that. $3, that's free. I'm going there, that's free. I'm going there, that's free. Trash can, yeah, I can use that. I can eat out of a garbage can. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, broadcasting all this week from the great city of New York. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to talk to Dave here in Los Angeles. Dave, you said you tried to go up the Statue of Liberty 2 days ago, so you're in New York?
Oh, yes, sir.
And what happened?
Well, that's the reason I wanted to call, because I tried to get up the Statue of Liberty in New York, you know, in New York City, like 2 days ago, and they wouldn't let me go up. And I said to them that I come from L.A., and they said that that didn't make no difference, and that's the reason why I'm calling, because I think that L.A. has not been respected ever since 9/11 happened, you know, and I know you're talking a lot about that on your program.
What do you mean, L.A., the city of Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah.
Has not been respected?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You know, New York had a bad thing happen, you know, and I think that's bad, but L.A., is almost as good as New York City, and we're not getting no love. I mean, I think L.A. has been getting...
Well, New York is getting love because it needs the love. You know, it had a horrible thing happen.
No, I know that. Okay.
All right, well, then what are you saying?
No, what I'm saying is L.A. has been forgotten, okay? I mean, I understand what New York has been through, but L.A. has been forgotten.
How has L.A. been forgotten?
Well, I mean, the people of New York, with all due respect, are people... And the rest of the country forget what LA's done for them. I mean, movies, television, music. And I realize the security considerations, but I think a courtesy should be extended to the people of LA in New York City. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, they've closed off, and I just mentioned this on the show last hour, they've closed off the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty.
No, I know. I know all the places that I tried to get into. You mentioned the Statue of Liberty, the United Nations building you cannot get into. I don't know if you can get to the top of the Chrysler building now that you cannot get into. Like you said, the Stock Exchange. And so I went to the Statue of Liberty today, and I took my girlfriend because, first of all, you have to understand something, Mr. Henry. I want to be LAPD, and I respect police officers everywhere, including the New York Police Department. That is a great police department. LAPD is a great police department. So I respect the police, you know?
Okay. So but you still can't get in.
But I'm taking law enforcement at LA Canyon College with my eye on going to the LA Police Academy.
Well, do you think that that's supposed to get you into the Statue of Liberty?
No, but what I think they need to do is this. They need to ask people, because the fact they're not letting people from L.A. is very disturbing. I mean, it's just very disturbing.
Well, why is that? What's L.A. got to do with New York during 9/11. I'm trying to...
Because L.A. is the only other city in America that is, like, as cool as New York, is almost as big as New York, and is cool because of the movies and TVs that they give everybody. Okay? I wouldn't even say nothing were not for the fact that they give the movies and TVs.
All right, L.A. has a big entertainment business. New York has a big entertainment business.
Right, but, well, New York's getting all the love. L.A. don't get no love, okay? So,
all right, so you propose that they let only people from L.A. into the monuments that are closed.
Yes, sir, only on 9/11. Like, just yeah, because of 9/11, yes, sir.
All year round?
Yes, sir, until they open it up to everybody else. But the people they should at least let in are people from L.A. And the reason why I say that is, and I tell you, I'm really fearful for the security in this town because a lot of these security guards that they got working are kind of stupid. I mean...
Well, because they didn't let you in doesn't make them stupid, all right? It doesn't matter to them that you come from Los Angeles.
But I want to be LAPD. That's number one. Number two, because L.A. is a town that people used to give love to until 9/11, I think we owe a little bit of love.
Oh, so that's it. So you think L.A. used to get all kinds of props, now New York's getting it, and so in order to make up for that...
Right, the people from L.A. need to be allowed into these monuments. I mean, we've suffered so much in L.A., people have forgotten that, but the people are not forgetting how much New York suffered.
So the only people that should be allowed in the New York Stock Exchange, the U.N., the Statue of Liberty, and all these other places that have been closed for security purposes, not to mention the city of New York, are people from L.A.,
Yes, sir.
Okay, and how have people in L.A. suffered?
I mean, ever since 9/11, they've had security. You can't get into the movie studios. You can't. They check your bag at Universal Studios. The security checks at Paramount and Fox has made the actors very upset. The television studio audiences are down. I went and tried to go to see, like, Dharma and Greg, man. There's hardly anybody there.
And that's because Dharma and Greg got canceled.
No, but I mean, you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't know what you're saying. The studio audience is down?
Yeah, we're in a drought, we haven't had no rain, and nobody's given love to L.A., so that's what I'm saying. And I went up to the guy at the Statue of Liberty today, and I said, you know something, man? You are stupid, man. And he said, why? I said, because I'm from L.A. You should let me into the Statue of Liberty, and I want to do something that's good for the people of New York, to show that we give them love. And he said, no, man, you can't get in. Nobody's allowed in. I said, but I'm from L.A.,
I don't think they're given any instructions.
No, but he could have made an exception for me.
All right, this is a very weird point of view.
It's not weird if you think about how L.A. is not getting the respect like New York is.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. They're not going to make any security. They're not going to make any security changes for people from L.A. But this young man is suggesting that people from L.A. be allowed into the Statue of Liberty, be allowed into the United Nations building and all these other buildings because L.A. doesn't get any respect. And ever since 9/11, New York's getting all the love. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Can I ask you something? You mentioned you want to be LAPD and you had your girlfriend with you?
Yes, sir.
And what's that got to do with it?
The girl that I'm going out with right now is the daughter of a division commander at LAPD. And I don't need to tell you what that could mean for my career. You know, so I wanted to take her up to the Statue of Liberty, and we went over to Home Depot in Queens, and we bought 300 yards of garden hose that I was going to drag up into the Statue of Liberty and shoot it out of the eye. And that would have been the most bestest thing you have ever seen, because it would show the Statue of Liberty crying on account of what happened.
Look at man.
No, but are you listening to it?
Yeah, but just listen to me, man. Because you come from L.A. doesn't give you any special privilege when it comes to getting into the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, it does, sir.
What about somebody from Denver, from Miami, people from Connecticut, people from... What about everybody else?
With all due respect to everybody else in the country, their towns have not contributed as much to America as L.A. See what I'm saying?
What about San Francisco? What about Chicago?
Just because our wounds in L.A. don't show like the wounds in New York doesn't mean that the knife doesn't hurt as much.
But what about San Francisco? What about Chicago? What about people from there? Why shouldn't they be allowed into the Statue of Liberty? Why shouldn't they be allowed into the United Nations building?
Because their towns are good, but they're not as good as L.A.
All right, so on the list of great cities, it's New York, then it's L.A.
Yeah, and the only people that should be let in People from L.A.
What about people from New York? Don't you think they ought to be allowed into their own monuments?
I don't, because it would be too automatic, I forget the word,
traumatic?
Yes. That's what I think, and that's what I wanted to show. I wanted to show, and plus the people in New York see it all the time. The Statue of Liberty is from New York, but the Garden Hose of Tears is from L.A.
So this was more like an artistic statement you wanted to make, and they wouldn't let you in.
Right. It lives in New York, the Statue of Liberty, but the Garden Hose of Tears comes from L.A.
Drag a garden hose up in there and squirt the water out of the eye of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I think it would be artistic. And plus, I'm dating this girl who's the daughter of a division commander at LAPD.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is kind of kooky. This kid wants privileges for people from Los Angeles to go into the Statue of Liberty, but nobody else, because everybody else's town isn't as important. And when I asked him, how about people from New York, he says, because they see it all the time. What I'm suspecting is that he just wants to get into the LAPD. He's dating a division commander's daughter. Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. The other thing that he wants to do is drag a garden hose up into the Statue of Liberty and squirt it through the eye so that tears come down. Even if they let him into the Statue of Liberty, they're not going to let him in with a garden hose, not 300 feet. Let me ask this kid, where are you going to get the water, son?
I'm sorry?
Where are you going to get the water?
They probably have a spigot or something around the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, okay. They got a spigot. Is that 300 yards, he asked? 300 yards, right?
Yes, sir, that's right.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking to, this is David, right?
Yes, sir.
Dave is from L.A. He's visiting New York, and he wants only people from Los Angeles to be able to get into the Statue of Liberty and all of these other places, because people from L.A. are almost as good as people from New York. I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, I don't mean that we're better than anybody else, but just there's only two really cool cities in America. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but if you think about the coolest cities in America, I mean, there's only...
All right, there's only New York and L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, how could you argue with that?
Well, maybe people from Miami think their town is cool.
Well, they may think their town's cool. People from Chicago may think their town's cool. But they, in fact, are not as cool as New York and L.A. And
well, why does that get a guy into the Statue of Liberty?
Because L.A., it has been ignored ever since 9/11, and it hurts, man. It hurts. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Adriana, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David. Go ahead.
Hi, David.
Yes, hi.
You know, I really... Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, you know, I have a comment to what you're stating there, because I'm from Miami, and I'm an ex-New Yorker. And, I mean, I don't think anybody's better than anybody. People, you're an American, you're an American. It doesn't matter if you're from L.A., from Miami, from New York, wherever you're from. And if it's close to one, it's close to all.
But L.A. and New York is the coolest.
No, it's not. I live in Miami now. To me, Miami is the coolest. And New York is the second coolest, or maybe even the first.
Are you kidding me? Like,
but you people, you know, you are the prime example of why people think that people from California have an attitude and that they're
right.
All conceited.
Wait a second. The people who got the attitude are, and I say it with all due respect, are like from New York. I went to that dude today at the Statue of Liberty, and he won't even let me in, you know? And
that's because they're not letting anybody into the Statue of Liberty.
But I said I was from L.A.
But it doesn't matter that you're white. Why do you think being from L.A. is going to give you the right to go into the Statue of Liberty? Because you're from L.A.? So what?
Because L.A. has suffered on account of 9/11. The movies, everything, the movie studios almost got blown up, everything. And Miami
Nothing ever happened to L.A. And everything
right.
happened in New York. Everything happened in Washington. L.A. had nothing to do.
It's one of the states. Except for
you know?
One thing, we had an earthquake in 1994, and we got our ass kicked
and nobody gave us love then.
What do you mean nobody gave you love?
A lot of people gave you love, okay?
A lot of people were helping Los Angeles, helping people get food.
Forget it, man. I lived
in... How about in the L.A. and the riots? How many people went to help out there?
Nobody.
Everybody helped. Everybody helped their own. Yes.
Did anybody come out from Miami to help? No.
We don't know
Hurricane
who came
Andrew,
out from Miami.
A lot of people have come to Miami to help out for Hurricane Andrew from many different states. That's
what about Hurricane?
We are all part of one big country, America. And
what are you going
to
do?
Give you the right to be better or worse than anybody. We're all Americans. No one is allowed into the Statue of Liberty. Being from L.A. doesn't put a little crown in your head and say, oh, let's let him up. He's from L.A. That's the coolest city.
Well, here's the thing, man. Right now, there are people trying to use David Geffen's beach property to get to the beach. Okay? That's hurting him. That's hurting him. And
wait a minute. David Geffen, what is he?
The movie producer.
And they're trying to do what?
They're trying to get to the beach going across his front yard, man. That's disrespectful. And that's painful.
And you don't think you're being disrespectful by trying to impose that people from L.A. be allowed into the Statue of Liberty? Only people from L.A. You don't think that's disrespectful?
How come New Yorkers get to walk across David Geffen's property? You know,
what do you mean David Geffen? You mean David Geffen?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, are you trying to compare the fact that David Geffen's getting his tulips tramped on to 9/11?
Look, here's the order of how cool cities are. Number one, New York. Number two, L.A. Number three, Malibu. Number four, San Francisco. Number five, Hollywood. Number six, Sacramento. Number seven, San Diego. And number eight, Hawaii.
And does it surprise you that they're all in California?
Yeah. And then the other thing is... Yeah, and the other thing is, Hawaii ain't a city, it's a state.
Uh-huh. What?
Hawaii is not a cool city, it's a state.
What about Malibu?
And Malibu's part of L.A. What is it with you? And Hollywood's part of L.A.
I think you need to go back to sixth grade geography before you call into radio stations.
And the other thing, Miami don't have no quakes, they don't have no 9/11. You all just sit around and hit your conga drums like Ricky Ricardo and stuff like that.
Dude, you're a maniac. And if you think you're going to drag 300 yards of garden hose up into the Statue of Liberty and squirt it out one of the eyes to see, make it cry.
Yeah.
First of all, it won't even look like she's crying. It'll look like she's shooting water out of her eye.
Can I ask this lady, what do you think of that, ma'am?
No, and it's a statue that stands for liberty. It stands for something happy. It shouldn't even have tears coming out of her eyes.
What if I just threw a water balloon out?
Excuse me?
What if I threw a water...
What do you mean, a water balloon? If you got a garden hose squirting that out...
Well, she's crying really hard.
Yeah, she's crying so hard it's shooting straight out of her eye. Adrienne, I don't want to bother you anymore with this.
She's crying because people from L.A. are climbing into her with water hoses.
Yeah, and with a water hose. That's why she's crying.
What if I take a leak?
Well, that's really respectful. Thank you, Adrienne. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. David, I got to tell you something, man. You got a little bit of ego going on here if you think that people from L.A. should be allowed into the Statue of Liberty, the U.N., and all these other buildings that have been shut off for security reasons just because L.A. ain't got no love because of the earthquake. And getting anybody behind you, and then you knock the security there.
I just don't think they're too bright.
Well, I think they're very bright, keeping a nutcase like you out with a garden hose.
Mr. Henry, my girlfriend is a performance artist. She lives in one of the lofts down in downtown L.A., and she wants to do, like, a performance art, okay?
I don't know what that is.
That's when you do stuff that's artistic, okay? First of all, everybody knows Latinos was responsible for the statue. If anyone deserves to go up, it's me, because we got it from Spain or Italy or something, I forget, but one of them, okay? That's number one. Number two, because my girlfriend wants to do performance art, it would be cool.
The Statue of Liberty is not your personal private playground where you can squirt out of the eye, drop water balloons out of it, or take a leak like a jackass. I don't think that's respectful at all.
Well, I don't think you know what it's like to want to be a police officer.
Whatever, dude. It's got nothing to do with what you're talking about. Bug off, okay?
Did I ever tell you about how New York's the yin and L.A.'s the yang?
Forget it.
My girlfriend wants to perform a movement from Isadora Duncan in the right nostril. And while I'm shooting the water out, she'll be painting a picture using her boobs as brushes. Then, after that, we will go back to the hotel. And if I do get up to Mr. Henry, I'm going to paint, tell her she's lovely right across the statue. choose Big Bottom. Also, I would take the ferry.
Can we dump that guy now? Thank you. Tell her she's lovely right across the statue's bottom. All right, the number here is 1-800-449-8686, but you may want to not call right now just to let the stink get off of the phone lines. You want to just, you may just want to, like, back off and give the odor a chance to waft out the window here. All right, now I have an opportunity to tell you about our trip to Las Vegas for the first ever Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor in Las Vegas, September the 27th through the 29th. The weekend kicks off on Friday at the Luxor's amazing Raw Nightclub with Henry's Happy Hour and live broadcast. Saturday night, you'll join me back at the Raw Nightclub for the exclusive Blues and Brews party where you'll hang out with me and be entertained by a live blues band. The package is based on double occupancy, and it also includes Friday and Saturday night lodging for two at the Luxor, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum, free admission to the Raw Nightclub after our parties conclude, and everybody attending will receive a special gift from me. Only $348 and you're there, baby. 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Tell them you want the Phil Henry package. Now, that's Vegas on the 27th. But right now and all this week, we're broadcasting live the Phil Henry Show from New York.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
A couple of stories that I thought really were indicative of, I think indicative of, oh, I don't know, I guess they're indicative of the news or the kind of country we live in and the kind of people we are. One of them, many of the families of the victims of the 9/11 terrorist attack have made a statement to President Bush that they are unhappy with what they think are a possible violation of civil rights of people, particularly people of Arab descent in the United States following 9/11. And they may have a point. But I got to tell you something. How big a person do you have to be after your own family members were butchered up that you would say to the President of the United States, you know, beyond all of this grief, let's be fair people, let's be right people. But that's the way we are. We're Americans. That's the kind of people we are. You know, and I'm reading that thing, Norman Mailer. What is it with him, man? Have you dried out yet, Norman? Are you, you know what the problem with him is? He's getting old and he's going to die someday. And he figures, just like all old men, if I'm going to die, then the world has to die too. And there he is with his comments about what a failed country we are. Really, we got people whose families were murdered on 9/11 and who have said to the president, you know what, let's not be unfair people ourselves. Let's treat whoever we have in custody with the level of civil rights that they deserve in this country. These are big people. This is America. So, Norman, stay in London, have yourself another cocktail, but I got a little news flash for you, and I know it's probably something that you don't really want to face the facts about. Just because you're dying doesn't mean the whole world's coming to an end. Old men always make that mistake. Old, bitter old men. I shouldn't say all old men, but a lot of bitter old men, when their lives start to slip away from them, they start thinking, well, see, my life sucks, the whole world sucks, and the country sucks, and everything's going down a crapper. It's not coincidental that young people find so much to live for and old people can't stand anything. Now, the other story that's even better, ABC News exclusive, Saddam Hussein used Viagra. Ho! But that wasn't the best part of this. Listen to this excerpt from this interview that was conducted by an ABC reporter named Claire Shipman. Shipman traveled to a safe house in the hills of Lebanon to talk to a former mistress of Saddam Hussein. Her name, Parasula Lampos. She says she saw Hussein on almost a daily basis for a year and is able to provide unique insights into what the dictator was saying, thinking, and feeling. Do you think this woman is for real? And if she was for real, don't you think our CIA would be on top of it? Or is she just some screw-loose chick that Claire Shipman got a hold of and paid, like, what, you know, 10,000 rubies to? All of this will be yours. If you open up the... Did she just throw some diamonds onto a magic rug and... I can provide information about Saddam.
Really?
Yes.
bought it for a price. You meet me in the bazaar. Meet me in the bazaar at 1 a.m. I will give you the information. Then you will know. Bring crisp $100 bill. No, forget it. Bring yen.
Okay. All right. So anyway, Claire Shipman goes where a few network reporters have gone before and zeroes in on Saddam's sexual appetites. On Saddam's use of Viagra. Oh, by the way, she's not talking about Saddam Hussein here. It's Saddam Benson from Yonkers. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, Saddam's use of Viagra. Lamsos, he took some time. Shipman, he took Viagra? Lamsos.
Yeah, sometime, yes.
Shipman, and I'm sorry I'm doing the accent, but I can't resist. Shipman, and did it help? Did he think it helped him? Lamsos.
Yes, of course.
Shipman, was he affectionate? Yeah, he was tender, he was warm, he was nice. Shipman, did he force you to have sex with him? Lamsos. Saddam, he don't need to force anybody because you're afraid. You're afraid to say no. I was with him because I was afraid of him. Shipman, what is Saddam Hussein's favorite drink? You know what it is? Whiskey on the rocks with ice. Now, I've never had it on the rocks with ice. I've had it with ice, and I've had it on the rocks. But I never had the poor little thing. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's just some woman that was beaten for a year by this guy. Whiskey on the rocks. Lamsos claims Saddam, what? He had a... Oh, and by the way, he had a 3-inch penis. All right, and it's crooked to the right. Thank you very much. Well, you're welcome. Thank you. That's worth the money I paid right there. Whiskey on the... Lamsos claims Saddam uses an herbal relaxation mask to try to reduce wrinkles. He dyes his hair, and he likes to wear suits by Pierre Cardin. Lamsos now wears a veil to disguise herself in the street because she fears retribution for telling her story, which will air Thursday on ABC's primetime. Shipman tells Howard Kurtz in Monday's Washington Post, this may be the hardest interview I've ever done. Her interview is more than sex journalism. Lamsos, who is 54 years of age, who left Iraq a year ago, not only offers stories of the Iraqi dictator's personal life that she says few others knew, she tells of his alleged effort to have his oldest son killed, his take on George W. Bush, his extreme vanity, and his love of American films and music. Lamsos tells Shipman how Saddam's favorite movie is The Godfather, and his favorite song is Strangers in the Night. Shipman, he likes Frank Sinatra? Lamsos, yeah, Shipman. And would he play it? Would he dance to that? Lamsos, sometimes. Who else? Lamsos, he's a big Jessica Simpson fan. Shipman, really? Lamsos, no, I'm just bullcrapping. Lamsos, what do you think you're pulling here? Shipman, I don't know. Get out of my life. Pay me. Lamsos says Saddam swims almost every day, drinks milk and honey in the morning, and his favorite food for dinner is fresh gazelle. She also forgot to say how he loves to wear his Hello Kitty blouse under his fatigues. She says he raises and nurtures gazelles and then handpicks each one to be slaughtered for his meal. Hussein met Osama bin Laden on two occasions and gave money to the al-Qaeda leader in 1996. Lamsos explains to the camera. Funny stuff. And he likes to play with her little ponies. Now, no. This is so perfect, man, because this is exactly what I've been saying for so long. That, oh, one other thing I forgot to mention. The gazelles he doesn't eat, he has sex with. I just forgot to mention that. And that's really great. This is so perfect because this is exactly what I've been saying, man, for a year. These cats in the Middle East, the Arab leadership, whatever you want to call it, oh, what is that? Oh, Assam says that the meat of a gazelle is better after you have sex with it. Okay. And also on Saturday nights, he dances in front of a mirror with it all tucked in and asks his friends if he's pretty. All right, now look. Look. Here's what we want to say. This cat is like all of those leaders, so-called, in the Middle East. Whether they are the Saudis, whether they are the Iraqis or the Syrians, they're all the same. The reason why they hate us is because they can't be us. The reason why they want to murder us is because they have a tenuous hold on their countries. Their culture, as it is dictated to them by these old, dried-up, wrinkled-up, conservative theocratic mullahs, is boring, tired, and doesn't serve the modern needs of a modern people. I didn't say Islam doesn't. I said the way it's interpreted to the people doesn't. And so, therefore, you've got a lot of old, tired, and bitter men who really don't care anything about their own people. What they care about is getting their piece of the pie, their piece of the rock. And Saddam, since he's on the outside looking in, you know, one time this guy was friends. He was pals with Ronald Reagan. You understand this, don't you? One time Saddam Hussein was good buddies with Ronnie Reagan. He was pals with the CIA. He wanted to be in the inside, man. He wanted to be in the in club. He wanted to be partying with Ronnie and all the CIA, Richard Helms, all those guys. He wanted to have cocktails with those guys. And when he got used up by the CIA and thrown out into a garbage can, it got him angry. Just like every small town hick that comes to the big city, gets his ass kicked, and goes out of town with his tail between his legs, that's Saddam Hussein. Bitter, angry, he's not part of the party. He doesn't sit... By the way, Mike Reagan got his first tricycle from Saddam Hussein. Now, anyway, will you shut up, Janice? You know, just like any small-town hick who got into town and got his ass kicked, Saddam Hussein got his ass kicked, and now he is bitter and angry. But, love and hate being both sides to the same coin, he still is attached to America, only with his hatred now and not his love. And the same thing with all of them. All of them. The mullahs don't dig America. The Islamic mullahs over there, the conservative theocrats, the reactionary and the despotic and the murderous Islamic mullahs over there that would carve up and have sex with the dead body of their own mother before they would actually really care about anybody, they don't like America because we are attractive to all the young people. Our culture is attractive to the young people. Our music is attractive to the young people, and even guys that can't get it up like Saddam Hussein. And that makes them angry because the more that people want to dance to Eminem, the more people want the new, Aaliyah album, the more that those kids over there would rather listen to, you know, American music, the less control they have over them. So that's why they hate us. The Saudis hate our guts because they can't get in on the in crowd either, man. They've been coming over here and going to Disney World and hanging out with George Bush for the longest time, but the American people think they're all scum and we wouldn't have anything to do with them, man, on our best day. And that just bugs them. They come over and dance in our discotheques. They buy our shoes. They drive our cars. God knows. Just like Saddam, they love our music. They love our women. They love our scotch. Which, by the way, I thought those cats aren't supposed to drink, those Islamic dudes. Oh, look at that. Hey, belting back a little bit of that Jameson. Had air, Saddam? A little of that Bushmills? Huh? And then going to doing your little five prayers a day. Is that it? Bending over and throwing up on a rug and getting back up again and puking it up again. So the Saudis, they're another kind of bird that never really got into the club. America is one big Studio 54. And all of these losers like Hussein can't get in the door. Neither can the Saudis, neither can the Syrians, all of those guys over there. So they hate us and they want to ruin us. Right? And what are they? They're all frustrated men. Here's a guy that needs his Viagra, his booze, his strangers in the night, which, by the way, Saddam, has gay overtones. I don't know if you ever heard that. And, of course, you want to watch your American movie, The Godfather, because I guess you think that's who you are, right? I thought that was cool, man. Saddam Hussein. So, anyway, that's Thursday night on ABC. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show website's a good place to go and figure this show out, man. I just talked to a very prominent program director tonight, one of the all-time biggies, who said to me, "Do people know you're doing the voices, Phil?" I said, "My listeners do. Yeah, my hardcore listeners." He said, "But are there enough of those people out there?" I said, "Well," he says, we would need to market you and really promote you." I said, "Yeah, that's great. Do you got a website?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I never heard of it." Well, it's philhenryshow.com. Anyway, go to philhenryshow.com. You'll figure out this program. It'll take you 20 seconds. You can listen to all of our archive stuff. Go online and by the way, you can listen to the show live whenever, on demand. Go online and listen to our 30-day archive. Get information about our Vegas trip. Get information about while we're in New York. We're going to try to get some pictures downloaded so that people can see the different things we've been doing in New York. Most of the pictures I've got right now are just of my kids petting the horses out in Central Park, but I'll try to get something a little bit more interesting. You know, we all did the cornball thing last night. We sat there in the corner and got our pictures. Well, I didn't, but Marie and the kids got their pictures drawn by the artists. You know, and down the street it's $20 and up the street it's $60. And guess which one I picked? Yeah, the 60 buck guy. And then, of course, I said, are you the guy that did my daughter's picture last night? Yeah, sure, that's me. Okay, great, I want you to do my son. Yeah, sure. It wasn't the guy. It was the guy 8 blocks away. He didn't know. And I didn't know. But anyway, all of this stuff that's going on here in New York and elsewhere, you can look it up on the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. Get the Tens of Beverly Hills bowling shirt while you're there. And, of course, the Jay Santa Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt available on the Phil Hendry Show website.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're broadcasting from New York City this week, today through Friday. And on the 11th, of course, we will be broadcasting from Ground Zero. And a day of memorial service is planned. And I mentioned, oh, you still got that air conditioner on there, bro. Yeah. We have an air conditioner that we kind of suck all the bad air out of this room because Craig and I have been up all night and we didn't shower, so it's ripe. And, no, frankly, why did we have that on? Oh, so it won't get too hot in here. Anyway, if you heard a big noise, it wasn't anybody vacuuming. It was the air conditioner. So, moving along, the day of 9/11, Wednesday, there will be a number of events throughout the city, as I mentioned at the outset of the program today, including different events in five different parks, Prospect and Battery and some other places around the city. And on that particular day, the program will be decidedly different. I don't know what we're going to do. I might just have people call and, you know, I was here when stories, perhaps. But we can't do shtick, and we won't. If you want to, on that particular day, really get a shot of Phil Hendry shtick, you'll have to go to the website because we're going to play that day straight. We must, as we did the 2 weeks or 3 weeks following 9/11. And I know that many of you can't really get with the sense of, I know a lot of people who are not here or people who've never been here can't really get with the sense of pain that that has pervaded the city and those of us who have been here. But you really have to, at some point in your life, I think, come to New York and at least go to the memorial that they're going to build eventually. And certainly on Wednesday, you need to listen to our show and other radio shows and watch television as well. And watch and look and listen and see what that day has meant, not only to the city, but to the history of this country. It was a big day for me. It changed my outlook about this country 180 degrees. I was like a lot of people. I was sort of a cynical, relaxing, liberal. I was sort of luxuriating in the ability to critique at an arm's length the various actions of leaders and guffaw and chortle over all of their mistakes. And then our very existence was threatened. Our awareness of an entity that wants to destroy us and everything that we love. And I took it seriously. I took it real serious. And I took it real personal. Now, while I'm still perhaps liberal and Democrat in my thinking, I will never take for granted the very existence of this country again, which I think a lot of people still do, to be honest with you. And, oh boy, some of them are really giving me a loud pain. I mentioned that Norman Mailer piece that I read on Friday. The thing that was in that piece that drove me nuts was he's so old and doddering and stupid that he doesn't know when he's contradicting himself, to wit this comment, which is, if you look at the statistics, more people die in automobile accidents than they do in terrorist attacks. And then he says, I fear that I'm reaching a point where terrorist attacks are acceptable. So this stupid old guy caught himself, realized what it was that he was saying. Terrorist attacks are never acceptable, and they particularly will never be acceptable in America. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. It's very simple. We're better than a lot of countries. Not better people, necessarily. We're not closer to God. We just, as a nation, as a society, and as a culture, we have executed this experiment better than a lot of people run their countries. In other words, America's the future, okay? The United States is the future through which the rest of the world can see. And without it, the future doesn't exist. Without America, just one big black hole. One big black spot. Kind of like what I saw on Craig Taylor's sheet the other morning when I woke him up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.